John Agordi on the Civic Media Radio Network in for Maggie Dawn on this Friday afternoon. We got the phone lines open at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we are attempting to make our connection here. Cal, do we have Pat McBride with us? Good afternoon, Pat. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
Good deal. We got you here. It's John Agordi. And we're talking with Patrick McBride. He is, he's got a book called The Luckiest Boy in the World. We talked to him a while back. In fact, it was several months ago.
Yeah.
And he's got a great story to tell here, Pat. When he was just a young guy, if you get this book, on the back, it's got a big list of all the people that Patrick has encountered. And it all started out after he met John F. Kennedy when he was 6 years old. Patrick, good afternoon. It's good to have you with John Agordi here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today?
Great, gentlemen. How are you doing? Well, actually, doing I'm a little worried about the future, but the past has been fun.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Well, you started out at a very young age. First of all, this meeting with John F. Kennedy when you were 6 years old, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. But really, your story really gets interesting when you became a bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers. Give us a little bit about why you wrote this book, The Luckiest Boy in the World, and a little bit of your story.
And you're from Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I just had lunch with my brother, Dennis, who's the co-author. He's the mayor of Wauwatosa currently.
Oh, wow. And, okay.
Yeah, he's in his second term. Mm-hmm. He's just finished a book about being the mayor, and that'll come out soon. But I wrote the book. It's actually a bit of an ironic title because we grew up in a big Irish Catholic family, and my parents were both newspaper reporters. My mom was a political reporter for the Milwaukee Sentinel, mm-hmm. and the morning paper, and my dad was a writer for the Milwaukee Journal, and I had to keep that hush-hush or I never would have gotten a job in the locker rooms. They wouldn't wanted a reporter's kid.
Right.
In the locker rooms. I could have gotten a lot of scoops, let me tell you that.
Yeah.
But my mother covered the White House, so that's how I got to meet JFK. She ran his campaign before getting a job as a reporter, and she ran his campaign in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Big primary. If he hadn't won that primary, he would have dropped out, he said.
So, and you were just 6 years old when you met him. What do you remember about that brief meeting?
I remember a lot about it. He and Jackie were there, and he was very late. So my twin brother took off for kindergarten because he didn't want to get in trouble with the teacher. But I said, I'm staying. I was used to being in trouble with the teacher. So it was easy. So I got in line to meet him, and I was just a little guy. And I was in afternoon kindergarten, and I shook his hand. And he dropped his pen, and I picked it up and gave it to him. And he said, you can have it. I don't know where that pen is.
And then
I circled back around. I got in line again. I shook his hand and Jackie's again. And then I circled back around. The third time he said, you know, I think I've met you before. And, that's when I decided I probably should go to class. Mm-hmm. And when I got to class, my brother was really happy because he thought I was going to get in trouble. And the teacher said, Pat, tell us about meeting JFK.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
The star of the class.
He was a terrific guy. He was extremely friendly, charismatic. Mm-hmm. Even though he was like 2 hours late, he acted like nothing was happening. Jackie was very sweet and kind. Great people.
Well, he had two young kids too, so.
Yeah. Sure.
So let's fast forward to how you became a Milwaukee Brewers bat boy. How did that all happen?
Well, you know, it's very apropos that it's, you know, the close to opening day coming up for the Brewers, which is always a really exciting time. Mm-hmm. I won an essay contest in the Milwaukee Sentinel. You know, I was really struggling in school at the time, and I was looking for something in my life. And I opened the paper, and there was an ad to be the first bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers. This is 1969, actually. And there was a 25-word essay. And it was, I would like to be a bat boy because, you know, I wrote, I would like to be a bat boy because I would like to be doing a small part toward bringing baseball back to Milwaukee. I would hope the spirit I would show would be contagious. And the judge of the contest was Eddie Matthews, the famous Milwaukee Brave.
Yeah,
sure.
And he picked my essay.
Wow. That's
great.
That is great.
So
The Brewers, Braves had left, and the Brewers came back, and Matthew was working with the team at that point, or?
Yeah, you know, the Bud Selig was still close to a lot of the guys, you know, and he was really working hard to get baseball back, and he'd almost bought the White Sox. So the White Sox had games in Milwaukee in 68 and 69. We used to ride our bikes down there and run around the stadium. And so I actually got to work as a bat boy for those White Sox games at 69. And I met a lot of the visiting teams. And so because Selig was working on the inside with the with Major League Baseball, he got to know Matthews very well when the Braves were in town. And so he must have been in touch with them, because I got this crazy letter that said, Eddie Matthews picked your essay out and you're going to be, come on down to the stadium and we'll orient you. And I got to put on a uniform for the first time. And the first game that I worked was an exhibition game, and it was against the Cubs. It was in 69. The first player that I met was the great Ernie Banks.
Oh man. Number 14.
Yeah. I still get chills thinking about it, because he came down, I could hear his spikes, and stuck his head around the corner, and he said, it's a great day, son. Let's play two. And then he said, you want to have a catch? And after stopped from almost fainting, we went out there and I played catch with Ernie Banks.
And he threw you a bottle of Coke, right? Those are the ads. I recall.
That's a different thing altogether. Well,
they didn't get paid very much, so they had to do something for an income then.
So now your book, The Luckiest Boy in the World, you list on the back here a number of these stars that you met over the years: Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Henry Aaron, Stan Musial, Reggie Jackson, Pete Rose. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I want to talk a little bit about, this is the first Brewers season without Bob Uecker in a long time, longtime broadcaster. You got to know Uke quite well.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
That's right. You know, I was the second season I was with the Brewers, I was in the hospital getting my tonsils taken out. And I was listening to the game on the radio, and Uecker said, well, we'd like to give a big shout out to our bat boy, Pat McBride, who's in St. Mary's Hospital, having his tonsils out, and we hope he's getting better. So, I don't know if he can take those tonsils home with him. You know, he's always doing some kind of joke.
Yeah.
When I got back to the stadium and he saw me, he said, he's always wandering around. He's up in the dining room. He said, hey, I heard you like to fish. How about coming out in my boat? We'll catch some salmon, cook it up for the family. So he invited me out fishing. It's my first real encounter. You know, I'd been on a road trip, and you're around the guy. Everybody's around the guy. You know, what people heard on the radio, what people saw on TV, Harry Doyle and Major League, that is Uecker 24/7.
Oh, that's great.
You see Yelich in the crazy plaid suit and the 70s get up and the crate. I'm telling you, Uecker was always like that. I mean, I never, ever, nobody ever, ever saw that guy down.
Yeah.
I knew him in a bar on the south side, and he'd say, hey, let's have a beer, and then he'd make you pay for it, or he'd have beer for the whole place. Yeah. That's Uecker. All the time. And he took me out fishing. I caught a big coho. He had me take it home. I mean, the guy was not only a superb human being, but he was the funniest person you ever met in your life, always.
Was there a specific bar that you guys hung out at on the south side of Milwaukee?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of Harvey Keene's bar. Mm-hmm. Was it the Vista Hotel or something like that? But Harvey Keene owned a hotel with his wife. Talk about a sweetheart of a human being, Harvey Keene. That's why that 82 team that started out so rough came together, because Harvey Keene was just a wonderful person. And the players used to go to there after a lot of games and have beers at Harvey Keene's place. Or Saz's.
Patrick, oh, yeah, Saz's, yeah.
Patrick, have you seen the new movie, Just a Bit Outside?
Yes, I have. It's spectacular. I went there with a heavy dose of skepticism and left in tears. I mean, when Robin Yount cried, that was it. I was done. Yeah. Robin Yount doesn't cry, let me tell you that.
Right.
I wonder if that it's at a Wisconsin Film Festival here in Madison. I'm not quite sure.
Actually, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Talking with Patrick McBride, the author of the book, The Luckiest Boy in the World. Now, this was really a life-changing experience for you as a young man, Patrick. You became the Bat Boy. And then, as I recall your story, you had some advice, some career advice along the way. And first of all, you also became a ball boy for the Milwaukee Bucks along the way and then did some work for the Green Bay Packers. So it really opened up a lot of doors for you as a young man and then leading to an eventual career path, right?
Yes. Well, let me put this in a lot larger context, and that's what the book really is about. It. There's a lot of people that, especially in the era that I grew up in, you know, the greatest generation struggled a lot, you know, with alcoholism and, you know, tough times for that crew. They grew up in the Depression and went through World War II, and it took me a long time to figure it out, really. But both my parents had alcoholism and fought all the time. And it was tough. It was really tough growing up. They fought every night. And and I was a kid really struggling, you know, in the middle of seven kids and really, I don't know. It's a long story, but that's what's in the book. And so I was looking for a way. And when I got these jobs, I expected, hey, you know, I'm going to meet all these celebrities. I mean, I met presidents, mayors, governors, Howard Cosell, all the big media stars. I mean, film stars would walk into the locker room. Everybody wanted to meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and wanted to meet Oscar Robertson and wanted to meet Pistol Pete Maravich and Joe Namath. And I got all their autographs, but what really happened from my experience was the mentoring that I received from the adults that were in these organizations, because this is the Midwest. So it's not New York City and it's not LA. These are good, solid people. Mm-hmm. So people like Wayne Embry and the trainers that I work with, they took a 15-year-old kid and they saw a spark and some intelligence that I didn't know that I had. I thought I was a dumb kid. And they said, you are going to medical school. And I said, I am what? I thought I was going to be a paper boy or, I wanted to be an athletic trainer. And it completely changed my life. And they made sure that I had the opportunities, you know, they'd have me meet the doctors. And they also said, you're going to get a 3.6 grade point average or you're not working here anymore. And that's what I did.
Amazing.
Well, I'm kind of surprised you weren't a paper boy for both the Sentinel in the morning and the Journal in the afternoon. You could have made a lot of money, man.
You know, you got paid well as paper boy. I'll tell you this, though.
Yeah.
And I thought about this the other day. You know, as a paper boy, everybody that I talked to that is a paper boy, you had to keep track of how many papers, how many customers, how much money. And because of that, I became the equipment manager of the Milwaukee Bucks, the NBA champions at age 17. And I was able to keep track of a $150,000 budget because I was a paper boy.
That's amazing. You know, I had a bad neighborhood. They didn't pay me.
Patrick, can you stay with us through the break here? We got a few more questions for you. I'd like to talk a little bit more about your book, The Luckiest Boy in the World.
Love to.
Very good. That's Patrick McBride. We will continue on the Civic Media Radio Network. John Peterson, Gordy Young in on the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay with us.